Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 38, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 38, verse 1. The title of this lesson is The Widow and the Harlot. We left off last week with Joseph's 11 brothers selling him into slavery, and he was taken down into Egypt and was a house slave for a man named Potiphar. We learned that one of his brothers, one of the 11, was named Judah, and Judah is the king line. Messiah was coming through that lineage, and Jesus would be the king, so he would come through the lineage of Judah as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we learned that it was Judah who saved Joseph's life. He said in killing him, they were jealous. Instead of killing him, they were so jealous of him, let us sell him into slavery. So what this chapter is going to do is what is called a parenthetical chapter. We're going to look at Judah's life because we're going to see how that Judah fights against God's plan, but how God intervenes into Judah's life as he would intervene into your life so that the right seed could be there so that the Messiah, Jesus, could come through eventually. So we're going to find out that while God has a plan, men fight the plan, but the best thing to do is just to yield and let God have his way. Let's begin.
Amen.
The widow and the harlot.
Verse 1. And it came to pass that at that time
when they had just sold Joseph into slavery,
Judah came down from his brethren and turned in unto a certain Adullamite.
Now you're going to find Judah's got a weakness. He loves prostitutes. So here he goes to one, okay?
Whose name was Hilah. Verse 2. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite.
My goodness, he no sooner finished with Hilah, his eyes see another woman he likes.
Whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her.
Now, Judah is the only brother through whom Messiah can come, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the king line. God said, do not mix a seed, keep it pure. He's already messed up. This daughter of Shua, he's going to have children by her. This is not a pure seed. This is heathen. God's not going to want to send his son through that. So God's going to intervene. Now listen how God does this.
Verse 3, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er.
Okay, son number one, Er.
Verse 4, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan.
Onan.
Verse 5, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Shelah.
Now we've got three. They are the sons of Judah, who will be the king line tribe, but they're not pure seed. What's God going to do about this? This is messing up his plan. God's not going to send his son, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, through heathen nations.
And he was at Kisset when she bare him. Verse 6. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar.
Oh, wait just a minute. A little bit of light here. Tamar, her name means palm tree. She's of the pure Adamic seed. Her womb could be used, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, to bring the Messiah. But Judah wants her to marry his firstborn. Judah is the only pure seed of the tribe of Judah. Tamar is pure. Now what's going to happen?
7. And Ir, his firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him.
Well, that's one down.
Verse 8. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother.
Now that might be hard for you to get your mind around. Many of you were with me when I taught the book of Ruth and Boaz. It was God's law that if the older brother died when they got married, that the next brother in line would marry the woman so they would have seed, but the child would be called by the first son's name. Now that was God's plan. See, God doesn't look at sex like people do. We go, tee-hee-hee, ooh-la-la. No, God looks at sex as a beautiful way to keep each person pure and holy. If he made you blue, he wants you blue. He made all the races on the sixth day, and he said it's very good. So he has his plan. So this is his plan. So far, this is going a little bit like God wants it. Judah knows God's law. He knows that Onan would be the next one in line.
Verse 9. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass that when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground.
He hated his brother, and he didn't want to have a son and go let it have his brother's name, so he refused to impregnate her.
Lest that he should give seed to his brother. 10. And the thing that he did displeased the Lord. Therefore he slay him also.
Number 2. 2 down, 1 to go. Sheila.
Verse 11. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house until Sheila, my son, be grown.
Now, wait just a minute. God's not interested in whether this person's older than that person. God has a plan. Now, watch Judah trying to go against God's plan.
For he said, lest peradventure he die also.
He was afraid that everybody that married Tamar would die. Seems like it.
As his brethren did. Verse 12. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers.
Okay, now Judah's heathen wife dies, the daughter of Shua. It says he was comforted. You know how he comforted himself? He went back to his favorite hobby. He went to sheep shearing. Sheep shearing was party time, wine, women, and song. I mean, that's how he got comforted. Okay, up he goes.
To Timoth. He and his friend Hiram, the Adullamite.
His buddy's going with him. They're going to party hardy.
13. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, in-law goeth up to Timoth to share his sheep.
Tamar knew her father-in-law, Judah. She also knew she had been done wrong. Tamar was a daughter of God. She knew that her womb was destined to be one of the wombs through whom the Christ child would eventually come. And she knew that he was supposed to give her Sheila, also for a woman not to have any children and to be left like that. She was just destitute. Her life was over. She knew that he had gone up there and he was going to look out for harlots, because that's what they did at sheep shearing time.
Verse 14. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil.
You know what the veil meant? She took the widow's weeds off. The veil meant she was a prostitute. Now, if you'll remember that when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, he went into the Holy of Holies and there was this great big veil, high and wide, and it separated God, who was in the Holy of Holies, from the priest and the outer court. But when Jesus paid the sin debt and said, it is finished, he tore that veil in half. When Lucifer rebelled in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, and half of God's children, one-third of God's children, followed Satan, that was harlotry, that was adultery, in Revelation 12. So Jesus came and paid the price, and so Jesus is coming back. We're going to be able to not be called a harlot anymore, because we were a harlot. We're going to be able to marry Jesus. He'll be the bridegroom and we'll be the bride.
Amen.
So it's interesting. She puts on a veil that says she's a harlot. You kind of wonder if some of these people who wear veils know that's a symbol of harlotry.
and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timon.
She knew exactly the pathway Judah would take.
For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given him to wife.
She had to do something. She was a woman of God. She knew Messiah was supposed to come. She knew her womb had a destiny. What was she going to do? Only one man, Judah, was the right seed to bear the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Verse 15. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face.
See, the veil.
16. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, and let me come in unto thee.
Hey, you, let's get together and have some fun.
For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me?
Now, first of all, Tamar is not a prostitute. She's truly a woman of God, trying to get God's plan going the right seed. There's a purpose for her doing this. We'll find out what it is.
Verse 17, and he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock.
That's pretty good payment.
And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it?
She said, you know, you might not be telling me the truth. You might not send me that kid. I need something in my hand for security. And I'll tell you what it is. She wants something that she can prove that it's Judah, the king line, that right seed that's about to go into her, and we know she's praying to conceive. So eventually, Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, can come through. Look at God's plan.
18. And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet.
The signet ring means that he had the authority. In other words, he could dip that thing in wax, and boy, he could sign any check he wanted to.
And thy bracelet.
The bracelet meant that he was the head of the house.
And thy staff.
That means he was the ruler. That was three IDs.
That is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and he came in unto her, and she conceived.
Look at God. See, she was using covert activity. Covert means under the blanket, under the cover. Sometimes God has us use covert activity to get his work done. So God opens her womb. Why? Because Judah was the right seed line and she was the right seed line. Again, God doesn't look at sex like you and I do. Now, you're not supposed to be promiscuous or anything like that, but God has it all planned. Sex is about God's plan to send the right seed through you. It's not about all the other. You had it all wrong, didn't you?
By him. Verse 19. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood.
She was a widow. She was not a harlot.
20. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand.
Take this little kid here to her and get my three IDs back, says so.
But he found her not. 21. Then he asked the men of the place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place.
Now the local men have not seen a harlot.
Verse 22. And he returned to Judah and said, I can't find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place.
I can assure you, the men, the local men, would know if a harlot were there. You just can't help but look, you know. And so what happened there? God protected Tamar because this was covert activity, under the blanket, covered. Did God hide her secretly in his pavilion? I trial.
Verse 23. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed.
He says, let her just keep it. I don't want anybody drawing attention to me. I might be ashamed of myself. He should have been ashamed of himself because he was messing up God's plan.
Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her.
I tried to pay her off, but she's not there, so let's forget it.
Verse 24. And it came to pass about 3 months after But it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. And behold, also she is with child by whoredom.
Uh-oh.
And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt.
The custom was that the harlot got killed.
25. And when she was brought forth, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child.
Guess what she had in her hand.
And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these?
Do you know whose these are, Judah?
The signet and bracelets and staff. 26. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she had been more righteous than I.
Judah knew God's law. He knew he had failed God. He knew he had not done this right. And he knew Tamar was not a harlot. He knew she was a woman of God. See, all the women knew that the Messiah was going to come one day through a virgin. And their job was to keep a pure womb and to get that seed line through. He knew that she knew that. Oh my goodness, he said, she has obeyed God and I've disobeyed.
Because I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more.
He respected her.
27. It came to pass at the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb.
Every time God's about up to something, he gets twins together. Remember? Cain and Abel, except they were fraternal twins. They had the same mother but different fathers. You remember that story? And then there was Esau and Jacob. And now we got two twins. Let's see what their names are.
28. And it came to pass that when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound to put his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first.
That little guy just stuck his hand out there. And they always wanted to see which one came first because he would get the first fruits blessing. They put a red thread around him. Now, today, we have in God's people, the people who are called the red thread people. Remember Rahab, who was called a harlot, who wasn't one in the book of Joshua? Remember the scarlet red thread she put in the window? The red thread people have in the palms of their hand a healing gift in the name of Jesus. And when they pray for you to be healed, the palms of their hand turn red. Look at God at work.
29. It came to pass, as he drew back his hand, and behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth?
How'd you get out here, little guy?
This breach be upon thee.
You broke through.
Therefore was his name called Phares. 30. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara.
You can read in the New Testament the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see Zara and you will see Phares in the genealogy. Pure seed. See the covert activity? I mean, Tamar did what God told her to do. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Now, she was not a harlot. She was the widow.
Genesis chapter 39, verse 1.
Now, here comes the harlot.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down thither.
Captain of the guard means that he was very high in government. He was in charge of the military. And listen carefully, he was in charge of the prisons.
Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph.
Because Joseph was with the Lord. The Lord says, turn to me, I'll turn to you. Joseph knew he had a destiny. He knew those dreams were from God. Once God has given you his dream, nobody can keep you down. No matter what they do to you, you know the dream, you know the voice, and you're not giving up, and you're going to stick with God.
Amen.
And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian.
Prosperous means that everything he did was good. It worked out. He was a person of order. You will never, ever be what God wants you to be if you're chaotic and out of order. So you start with the most simple thing, starting in the morning, order before you get up and before you go out to work and everything. Order in your body, in your hygiene, order in your home, order in your thinking, order in your relationship with God, order in your work. Disorder is not of God. He was very orderly. When things are done decently and orderly, you have more time. Some of you don't have enough time because you're too much out of order, mostly with the cell phones.
Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
Do you understand that even lost people, when they see that God is on you and you're in his will, they see God in you. They see that difference.
Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. All that he had, he put into his hand.
I mean, from the pit, sold into slavery, now he is the CEO of one of the most powerful men in Egypt. He's the CEO of his house and of his flock. You can't keep a good man down.
Verse 5, at the time when he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake.
See, if you're really walking in God's will, you say, I want to be in God's will so I'll be blessed. I want to be in God's will so you'll be blessed. Do you understand that if you're in God's will, the anointing's on you, that people be blessed to think about you, to hear your voice, whether in a tape or on person, to be in your presence, to hold something in the hand you have touched? This is how much, because you're dead to yourself and only God lives in you, and everything about you is blessed.
Amen.
Because it's the essence of God.
And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field.
Don't forget, his dad Jacob was great at animal husbandry, so I imagine there were lots of little baby calves and lambs and goats out there being born.
Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat.
I mean, Potiphar didn't even know how much money he had. He trusted Joseph implicitly. Now, that's a good employee for you. Someone who's going to make your business prosper, someone you can trust, someone who's going to cover your back, not cut your back. Now, why did Joseph not have anything to do with his bread? Because Potiphar was an Egyptian, and Egyptians thought it was an abomination to eat with a Hebrew. That's why. So he had to take care of his own food.
And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored.
He was a very good person. He was trustworthy. He was personable, and he was good looking.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me."
Just as soon as you find your place in God, and you think, man, this is getting, I'm right now, boy, I'm at peace. Look out, a siren of sin is gonna call and say, come over to my house. It might be drugs, it might be alcohol, it might be pornography. It might be to use the gift that God's given to you to make money or get fame. Watch out for the siren call.
Yeah. Verse 8, but he refused.
He refused. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you.
And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand.
Mrs. Potiphar, your husband trusts me.
9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee. Because thou art his wife.
Mrs. Potiphar, you're his wife. Tut, tut, shame on you.
How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
This won't set well with her. He just told her she'd sin. That's a sin you just did, Mrs. Potiphar. You know, sinners don't want us to tell them they've sinned. They just say, I don't want to hear about that. The psalmist says, against thee, O Lord, against thee alone have I sinned. Yes, when we sin, we hurt other people. But the one you hurt the most is the Lord God Almighty, because he's your nearest kinsman redeemer. He made you perfect. In the first earth age, there was no sin. And now he sent his son, and he says, be ye holy as I am holy. Through the blood of Jesus, now you can be sinless again. So when you sin, you hurt God. Joseph said, no, I'm not going to participate. Say no to the siren call. I'm cautioning you. Look out for your comfort zone. Sin will sneak in just a little tiny foot in the door. Say no.
Verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her.
At the end time, Satan is going to try to wear out the saints. It's just day after day after day of him trying to pick at us.
Or to be with her. Verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business.
Okay, he would have as a quartermaster an office in the back of the house. So every day he had to go through that house, and of course she would be there watching him.
And there were none of the men of the house there within.
Fancy that. All the men, the household servants and cooks and everybody, they were gone. Who do you think did that? It's a trap. Look out, the siren of sin calling you. It'll look good. It'll look like nobody will know.
Verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me.
You know, she probably every day dressed up beautifully or dressed down beautifully.
And he left his garment in her hand and fled.
Paul says, flee temptation.
And got him out.
When Satan tempts you, it looks so good. I mean, after all, you're such a good person. You're doing so much good for God. Could this one little time be, you know, could that possibly hurt anything? Run. Yeah. Run. Little gingerbread man, run as fast as you can.
13. And it came to pass that when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, 14, that she called the men of her house and spake to them, saying.
Now, first of all, they weren't there. So she's calling them back in. Hey, you guys, you can come back in now.
See, he's brought a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice.
Of course she's lying through her teeth. You know, you just imagine those men. Don't you know their eyes were rolling? Don't you think they knew this woman? And beside, they didn't hear her cry out because she didn't cry out. You know what she was doing? She was trying to get a false alibi. She wanted them to be whistleblowers. And then she was going to need a lot of whistleblowers because she was kind of like Adam Schiff. And she was telling the whistleblowers what to say. Whistleblowers say this.
15. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out.
Eyes rolling, eyes rolling. She probably tried it with some of them.
16. And she held up his garment by her until his Lord came home.
You know, they say there's no fury like a woman. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
17. And she spoke unto him according to these words.
Okay, husband Potiphar's home.
Saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. 18. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out. 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled.
But to whom was Potiphar's wrath kindled? I mean, Joseph was the best thing ever happened to him. He was taking care of his finances. He trusted him implicitly. Was he angry at his wife? You know, when you are married to someone, you know whether they have a wandering eye or not. You might deny it. You might not want to admit it. Don't you think he knew his wife? Don't you think he was angry? Good Lord, woman, you just messed up everything for me. But you know he's got to keep peace, because you know what they say. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison.
Now, wait just a minute. Who's in charge of the prison? Potiphar.
A place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison.
Where was the prison? Near Potiphar's house.
Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph.
There he was, because Joseph was with the Lord. The enemy means this for evil, but God's going to turn it for good.
And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Who's the keeper of the prison? Potiphar.
Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hand all the prisoners.
Say, Potiphar said, good Lord, you did such a great job for me and my business. I tell you what, I'll let you be in charge of the prisoner. I mean, he saw that talent. See, the Bible says, my gift makes room for me and brings me before great men. The gift that God has given to you will work for you, whether you're in prison or whether you're in a palace. It will always give you favor.
That were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it.
So there he goes, absolutely. Now, the title of this, as I say, is The Widow and the Harlot. We see who the true widow was and the true harlot. In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, we see a picture of a beautiful woman. She represents the deceived part of the body of Christ, Matthew 25, the five, the half that are foolish, who are going to worship the Antichrist. She sits upon a beast, and she's clothed in scarlet and purple and red. And her name is Mystery Babylon, the harlot, because she will have left Jesus and worshiped the Antichrist. This is half the body of Christ. But she would say, I sit a queen and am no widow. Widow means divorced. See, when God's children betrayed God in the world that then was, we were basically divorced then. Jeremiah 3:8 says God is divorced. And then Jesus came to pay the price, and now we can remarry him, and Jesus is coming back. He's the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom, and we're the bride. So I want to make sure that you stay a widower and not the harlot. We'll begin right there next time. God bless you. Usually this time I have mystery moment, but for time's sake, we're going to move right into Scott's stuff. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my fellow hard worker labor, my twin friend, Scott Mercer. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
David left his stuff in the car, and Zeke put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. For the sin of their mouth, of the words of their lips, let them be taken by their pride. Psalms 31, Psalms 59.
Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. Now, Mrs. Potiphar could go out by that verse.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick all over this country, and some of you in Chile. Hello, Michael Lark in Chile. But first of all, if you're not saved, let me pray for those of you who are lost. Pray this with me, after me, repeat it after me, mean it with your heart, and God will save your soul right this minute. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you pray that and meant it, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. And I see that the rays, laser beams of rays of Jesus Christ healing virtue are flowing into stomachs, into the stomach lining, whether there's been tearing, where there's been disruption, where there's been hurt there. In the name of Jesus, the stomach lining is coming back together and is being healed at this very, very moment right now. Perfect stomach, perfect lining, at ease, perfect order in the name of Jesus. And so we speak to the kidneys and to the colon, everything in divine order. We speak to the spine, the backbone, the spine, the central nervous system. Nerves be unpinched, everything relocated where you're supposed to be. Divine order in your body. He sent his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' mighty name. We give you glory. Now, for those of you who are healed, I invite you to call and let me know that too. Nothing is given to us to keep. All of these beautiful truths you have, it is a sin for you to keep them. Go and tell. Remember your purpose. Forget yourself. Go from the inside to outside. Think of God. Think of others. And it'll just relieve you from being shy. It'll relieve you from being depressed. In other words, remember your mission and go and tell and go and share. There's a whole world of lost people crying out for the truth and love and peace that you have. So get out there and go and get them. God bless you. Now, remember that Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a shout out of thanksgiving to Scott Merson for Scott's stuff. Thank you, Scott.
Well,
we appreciate you. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I love you and I bless you. And I can't wait till next time that we get together as a family of God to love each other, to love our God, and hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Had as much of you as I can take. I'm so done, so over being afraid.
I've gone through the motions, I've been back and forth. I know that you're thinking you've heard this before. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just gonna say it, yeah. Fear you don't own. There ain't no room in this store. let it settle in. You probably never saw it coming. Something's gotta give, so I give up you. Oh, there's no room for you here. Yeah, I've had enough. The no vacancy sign on my heart is lit up. In case you didn't hear it. Like me, anybody needing fear to leave? Ooh, yeah. If you don't know how to say it, sing along with me. Sing fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story, and I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not. Like you know me. Well, guess what? I know.
Tell of your mercy. Who could imagine a harmony sweet enough to tell of your love? I see the heavens proclaiming day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way. Tell of your glory. Our highest praise but a feeble breath, a whisper of your thunderous worth. I see the heavens proclaiming day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way to sing a
we want.
see the heavens proclaiming day after day, and I know in my heart that there must be a way. So hear me singing, hallelujah. We want to lift you higher, hallelujah. We want to lift you higher and higher, hallelujah. We want to lift you higher.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Jesus, take the beauty from the pain. Jesus, lift these weary hands again. Turn the silence into songs of praise. Jesus, I am leaning on your name. Oh, I'm leaning on you.
prisoners in cells of our own making. Completely guilty, deserving of our chains. But hallelujah, when Jesus came a-calling, paid the debt we could not pay, and he washed our sins away. Freedom, sweet freedom, you can feel it shake the ground. Well, it comes in like a crashing wave and tears our prisons down. Hear it getting louder, the joyful, joyful sound. Freedom, sweet freedom, we're not prisoners. Mighty reach of mercy to see the worst in us, still plan our escape. But hallelujah, what a glorious Savior, 'cause nothing stops his power or his unrelenting grace. And now that
exalted, he is exalted. Exalted. Blessed.